Let's read together Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 27. In these verses, we have the wonderful account of the salvation of Zacchaeus and also the well-known parable of the pounds. Let's begin by reading the account about Zacchaeus in verses 1 through 10. Luke chapter 19, beginning with verse 1. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, He has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Let's begin our study of this portion of Luke chapter 19 with some background notes. Question, was Zacchaeus the shortest man in the Bible? What about Nehemiah? Nehemiah. What about Bildad the Shuhite that we read about in the book of Job? And then what about that man who slept on his watch? Well, seriously speaking, Zacchaeus is probably most remembered as the short man in the Bible who climbed up a sycamore tree in order to see Jesus. You know, on the outskirts of the modern city of Jericho today, there is a large sycamore tree where tour buses stop, and some guides have even been known to tell the tourists that this is the very sycamore tree that Zacchaeus climbed up in order to see Jesus. Well, obviously, it isn't the same tree. But it's a good place to stop and read the story of Zacchaeus from Luke chapter 19. The story of Zacchaeus is a wonderful Bible story, not just because of the Sunday school choruses that have been written about Zacchaeus, but because Zacchaeus is such a refreshing contrast to the other people we read about in the Gospel of Luke who refused to come to the Lord. In Luke chapter 18, for example, the rich young ruler would not follow Jesus because of his wealth. Zacchaeus also was wealthy, but in contrast to the rich young ruler, Zacchaeus was willing to give away his money, not to buy salvation, but as a result of salvation. Also in Luke chapter 18, the Lord said in verse 17, Assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. Luke chapter 18, verse 17. The self-righteous Pharisees were not willing to humble themselves and become like little children and accept the Lord by faith. But in contrast, Zacchaeus was willing to humble himself. He was even willing to run and climb up into a tree, as a little child might do, in order to see Jesus. So there are a lot of lessons about salvation that we can learn from the account of Zacchaeus, and that brings us to our first doctrinal point for this portion of Luke chapter 19. So doctrinal or teaching point number one, the Lord gives free and life-changing salvation. The Lord gives free and life-changing salvation. We know that Zacchaeus was not saved before this event, and we know that Zacchaeus was saved after this event. How do we know these facts? Because of what the Lord says in verses 9 and 10. And Jesus said to him, Today, salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. In other words, Zacchaeus was lost until that day. That was the day that Zacchaeus was saved. Now, when the Lord said that Zacchaeus was a son of Abraham, he did not just mean that Zacchaeus was Jewish and a natural son of Abraham. He meant that Zacchaeus was now also a spiritual son of Abraham. That is, he was saved and was now walking by faith, as Abraham did. We read in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6 that Abraham believed in the Lord, and God reckoned it to him as righteousness. It's important to realize here that the good works of giving to the poor and paying back fourfold that Zacchaeus promised are not what saved Zacchaeus. These good works were the result of Zacchaeus' salvation. Salvation is not by good works, but salvation results in good works. What a change in the life of Zacchaeus. We read in verse 2 that Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. Jewish tax collectors of that day were not only considered traitors for collecting taxes for Rome, but they were well known for lining their own pockets by overcharging the people. But salvation brought change to the life and lifestyle of Zacchaeus. And the same is true in our lives when we come to the Lord by faith and are saved. The Lord gives free and life-changing salvation. Doctrinal point number 2, the Lord rewards faithful and successful service. The Lord rewards faithful and successful service. Verses 11 through 27. Luke chapter 19, beginning now with verse 11. Now as they heard these things, he spoke another parable because he was near Jerusalem, and because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. Therefore he said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 pounds or minas, and said to them, do business till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And so it was that when he returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, master, your mina has earned 10 minas. And he said to him, well done, good servant, because you were faithful in a very little, have authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, master, your mina has earned 5 minas. Likewise, he said to him, you also be over 5 cities. Then another came, saying, master, here is your mina, which I have kept put away in a handkerchief. For I feared you, because you are an austere man. You collect what you did not deposit, and reap what you did not sow. And he said to him, out of your own mouth I will judge you, you wicked servant. You knew that I was an austere man, collecting what I did not deposit, and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank, and at my coming I might have collected it with interest? And he said to those who stood by, take the mina from him and give it to him who has 10 minas. But they said to him, master, he has 10 minas. For I say to you that to everyone who has will be given, and from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. But bring here those enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them and slay them before me. The first thing that we notice about this parable of the pounds or minas is that it is quite similar to the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25, but there are some significant differences. In the parable of the talents, there are different amounts of money given, but the successful servants are given the same reward. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. In the parable of the minas, on the other hand, the same amount of money is given to each servant, but the successful servants are given differing amounts of reward, depending on how successful they have been. So the emphasis in the parable of the talents is on faithfulness with whatever talents and spiritual gifts you have been given. But the emphasis here in the parable of the minas has to do with more than faithfulness. There is reward for being successful with the one mina that you've been given, like every other servant. Every servant in the parable was given one mina. A mina was about 3 months' wages, by the way. Now, what are we given like every other servant on an equal basis? Well, we all have one life to live. Are we going to use it to the fullest for the glory of God? And we all also have 24 hours in a day. no servant gets more or less than 24 hours per day. Now, how successful are we going to be as servants with the one life that we have and the 24 hours per day that we have? The unfaithful servant in the parable of the talents is clearly an unbeliever, because Matthew chapter 25 and verse 30 says, "And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Matthew 25, verse 30. Now, the unsuccessful servant here in the parable of the minas could likewise represent an unbelieving professing servant, as in the parable of the talents. Or he could represent a true believer who has been unfaithful and wasted his life as far as serving the Lord, and therefore he will suffer loss of reward in the earthly kingdom of our Lord, as well as loss of reward in heaven. Notice how the unsuccessful servant is judged on the basis of his own bad theology. Verse 22, "And the master said to him, 'Out of your own mouth I will judge you, you wicked servant. You knew that I was an austere man, collecting what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow.'" So this unfaithful servant is judged on the basis of his own bad theology. The rewards of 10 cities and 5 cities here may be more literal than we think, because we will literally reign with Christ in his earthly kingdom when he returns. And the more successful you are for the Lord and his kingdom now, the more will be your reward in that kingdom. The citizens of verse 14, who hated the nobleman, are the enemies who are killed in verse 27. In the parable, these enemies specifically represent the unbelieving nation of Israel that rejected their Messiah in verse 14 and continue to reject the claims of Christ to this present day. These enemies of verse 27 could further include all unbelievers who reject the claims of Christ. We know that when the Lord returns, there is not only reward for his faithful servants, but there is judgment for the unbelievers. The Lord rewards faithful and successful service. Practical application now for this portion of Luke chapter 19. Let's be entrepreneurs for Christ. Let's be entrepreneurs for Christ. Illustration. Suppose you were given $1,000 and told you had 10 years in which to invest it wisely. What would you do? Would you start a business? What kind of business? Would you invest it in an already going company? I hope that we would be creative in entrepreneuring and active. Well, that's the way we are to think as servants of Christ in ministry. Have we thought of the most efficient and effective ways to evangelize the world around us? Are we creative in our Sunday school classes and other ministries in order to touch the lives of more people? Are we using the internet and other technological advances to reach out across cultural and other barriers? Let's be entrepreneurs for Christ.